Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Wanting, doesn't it? I'm so glad you guys are here this morning. You guys excited to be here? It's good, man. Dude, if you love me, don't tell me anything if you know it about the Seahawks game. And don't do that little sideways, like, I'm not going to tell you anything, but you just don't want to watch it. You know, people do that kind of thing, trying to be spiritual. Just love me and just be nice and don't say nothing. Some of you don't care, but I have very small fleshly pleasures in my life, and the Seahawks are one of them. And so I enjoy going home and DVRing it and get my lunch together and spending 3.5 hours to watch them lose. And so don't take that away from me. You know what I mean? Hey, you're going to be here Christmas Eve, right? Can you MC? Is that right? All right, fantastic. Next on the 13th, next week, we are going to have our youth bake sale. Woo! They're going to be raising some money for their youth retreat, and so if you can just come to that prepared to buy something. I was reminded by my wonderful wife that I have agreed to bake something. My grandfather was a French pastry chef. And so he taught me how to make these almond rounds. They're like a brioche bread with like an almond paste and made with about 2 sticks of butter. And that if you don't know Jesus, this will help. And so I haven't decided whether I'm going to make 3 of them or 6 of them. They come in a batch of 3, and they're like this nice thing. So you can take them home, and you can freeze them, and then you can maybe share it with your family on Christmas morning. Dude, I can't lie. They're amazing. And they're not because I make them. It's my grandpa's recipe. But I'll be selling a few of those, and I hope that they'll go for a high amount of money. Like, don't be like, oh, here's $1. Let me, like, the butter itself is like $5 in each one of these things. So dig deep and get them for the youth. Amen. First service, we gave Pastor Shelley some flowers. It is your mom. And the reason why we did that is because she did such an amazing job putting together the daddy-daughter dance this weekend. You can give her a hand for that. I love giving Shelley recognition because she hates it. With people that hate it, you just want to do it even more. Just because it makes them so uncomfortable. I know a lot of people worked really hard to put that thing together, this was something that the Lord laid on Shelley's heart years ago, and she kind of leads the charge, and so we just wanted to recognize her and thank her. The dads that went, wasn't it just awesome for our daughters? Yeah. It was so great, man. It's a highlight of the year for my daughter and me. So we just want to thank you again for putting that together, and it's just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, man. Are you guys ready for some preaching this morning? I'm so glad that you guys are here. Hey, can you, and I know I say this every week, but for some reason, I preach about 40 to 45 minutes. And at like 35, I look out and I think they're so done listening to me. And I just want to be like, all right, we're done. Will you guys just give me grace this morning and let me preach what God put on my heart? You know, I can't describe to you the inner turmoil that I have weekly in trying to make sure that I bring you guys the word of the Lord. And so I just want you to remember that every week when I come to preach, this isn't something that I came up with just for my own benefit. I truly seek God and I say, God, what do you have for your people? And so when you're sitting here and you're listening, I want you to realize that it's the Holy Spirit talking to you, trying to change things inside of you, trying to help you. And so take it as such. Don't just take it as some bald-headed guy up here, you know, whacking the Bible at you. God's trying to do something in you through this word. Amen? Let's pray over it. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your word, that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray that you would use this word to change us, to challenge us, to convict us. God, we pray that we would not leave here the same way that we came, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, people in this world really want to be somebody. Have you ever noticed that? With this whole new reality show Twitter, Facebook thing. Like, everybody just wants to be a somebody. And they will do whatever it takes to become that person. And it's this thought of, if I just had a viral video, people would finally appreciate me. Or if I could just get on a reality show, or if I could get, you know, a certain amount of Twitter followers, then I would finally be somebody. And I get it. You want your life to matter, right? Amen? You want your life to matter? I think most people would like to feel that they're special. And so this morning, I just want to tickle your ears a little bit. Amen? I want to give you what your itching ears want. I want to help you to be exalted. Isn't that exciting? Amen? Why you give me that face? Did you not you want to be exalted. That's what the Bible says. And so this morning, I'm just going to teach you how to be exalted. We're just going to get to right where we want. We're going to get straight to where your heart condition is. And I'm going to teach you this morning how to exalt yourself. And so at the end of this sermon, you'll be able to walk away just thinking about how awesome you are and how you can be exalted. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The streaming computer went down, so we're not live streaming this service. And what I always tell people that are going to call me and text me and saying they can't see the live service or the live stream, I always say, well, you should have been here. The live stream is not church. It's an option if you're broke, if you have a broken body part or you can't get here. It's not how you're supposed to enjoy church. So this is special in the sense that it's just us this morning. Amen. So we can rail on those online people that aren't going to see it. Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now, what does this say? We're continuing our study of the book of Philippians. There's this guy named Paul, and Paul is in prison, and he's writing a letter to the church in Philippi. And in this portion of Scripture, what he's telling them is that you need to change your mind. You need to change the way that you've been thinking. Look at the example of Jesus Christ. See how he lived his life and what God did with him. Because what happened with Jesus is that he lived his life humbly. He lived his life with not having any concern for his own reputation. And what God did is God lifted him up. God exalted him and gave him the name which is above all other names. Now, this morning, at the end of this sermon, you're not going to have the name which is above all other names. You're not going to become the Savior of the universe. But if there's even the slightest bit of inkling inside of you that would like a little bit of exaltation, that you would just like a little bit of being lifted up, I believe that we can look at this portion of Scripture and say, how did Jesus live and how did he end up? And look at us and say, well, if we lived like Jesus, at the end of our life, God is going to lift us up. God is going to exalt us. Amen? So the title of today's message is How to Be Highly Exalted. Point one is this. You've got to open your mind. The Bible says in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Paul is admonishing the church here to have the mind of Christ. Paul is saying, if you're going to make it in this world, if you want to be someone who is lifted up, you've got to have the mind of Christ. A carnal mind will not do. A carnal mind is a mind of flesh. It's a mind that wants to think like the world thinks, not think like God thinks. See, Christ didn't view the world as the rest of the world did. Part of what he came to do was to open our minds to the things of God, to see things with a different perspective. Jesus' ministry was a ministry of words and of actions. And the words that he spoke and the actions that he took were an attempt to get people to change their mind in the way in which they viewed God. And so for us, as we in this day and age come to God, we in the same way must realize that our minds were not created with the mind of Christ. Our minds were created carnally. If you don't come to Christ with the idea that your mind wasn't right in the first place, you aren't going to be open to having him change it. Now, some of you are not in your right mind. That was like the biggest amen I got all morning. People were like, amen, I knew that. Some of you have a mind that is so backwards against the things of God. Part of your problem is you haven't even realized that your mind is a worldly mind. And so coming to that point where you think, where you actually have to have this ability to come outside and look at yourself down and say, like, is my mind set up with the things of God or the things of this world? The Bible actually has a word for this turning. It's called repent. And the root word of repent is metanoia. And metanoia actually means a changing of the mind. It's a mind that changes, that comes from a mind of looking at the world to the mind of being open up to the things of God. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, or even if you do and you're just not where you think you should be, I'd ask you, have you opened up to the reality that God wants to change the way in which you think? Yes. Yes. See, it's not that God wants to change the way that you act. He wants to change the way that you think so that your thoughts become your actions. But if you haven't even opened up to the reality that you need to have a mind change, you're going to be coming from behind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I know a lot of you that are here this morning can agree with me that when you first came to a church, our church, that you thought that church was a bunch of nutballs. They're a bunch of wackos. It's true. We're weird. We're just a little odd. It's okay. But once God renewed your mind, now you do and say things that you used to abhor. The things you used to look at and laugh at, and things that you used to be like, I can't believe these crazy Jesus people. And now you've become one. Because God changed your mind, because you realize that the way my mind was before, I wasn't in my right mind. The truth is, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. And he can't even know them because they're spiritually discerned. If you're stagnant in your walk with Christ and you feel like, well, I've kind of made a decision to follow him, but I don't feel like I'm experiencing the fullness of who God is, perhaps you do not have the mind of Christ. Perhaps your mind hasn't been opened to the point. It says in verse 16 here, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And folks, the mind of Christ stands in complete contrast to the things of this world.
Yes.
Complete
yes.
contrast. Yes. They cannot coexist. They are not one in the same. And so for us, if we want to be exalted, we've got to first open up our minds. We've got to understand that to have the mind of Christ, we're not going to understand the things of the Spirit if we don't have the mind of Christ. You're not going to be able to have discernment in spiritual matters. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Basically, what this means to me is, if the whole entire world is going in one direction, that should give me an indication as a Christian that I shouldn't be going with them. Time and time again, people look at the things that I say and the things that I do, and they say, well, everybody else thinks that this is a good idea. Everybody else voted on it. They said it was a good idea. Everybody else in the world is completely on board. What's the matter with you, Christian? Why can't you just fall in line and become part of what the world is doing? Well, I refuse to do that because the Bible told me to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so that means when I have the mind of Christ, I'm going to look at things through this filter and not through the filter of the world. And sure, it creates a division. It creates a time where people look at me and they say, well, man, why aren't you like the rest of us? Because I'm not. I'm not one of you, man. I'm just not. I see the world a different way. I mean, it's like you'll be in a social situation. And it's like, yeah, it's awesome. And me and Chris will look at people at each other like, why are they clapping? That's horrible. But yeah, when we look at, oh, my gosh, we need to get out of here. This is bad. And some of you are like, well, it doesn't matter what it was. The point is that when you have the Spirit of God, you know when things aren't of God. You know you're in a situation where everybody else is all excited and hooping and hollering, and you're just like, man, this is not of God. It's not of Him at all. Whenever society is, this is good, let's all do this, it's an indication to me and to you that you should pray and seek God to see if you should follow what the world is telling you. Folks, I'm not trying to please the world. I'm just trying to please God. And I'm not going to make a lot of friends in the process. Folks, you have got to pray for discernment in times such as this that we are living in. Going back to what I said before I even started preaching, it's one of the hardest things for me in the world to come down here and beat you up at the word every week, man. People think I get some sort of morbid pleasure out of it. The only pleasure that I get out of it is to know that if I died and I stood before God, I'd be able to say, do you know what, God? I preached the truth. And I tell you, man, I would love to just come down here, just rub your shoulder. You're so awesome and love, and here's a donut. I would love to do that. But I couldn't live with myself, man. If you want to hang out and have me say nice things to you, buy me lunch, man. I'll tell you nice things all day long. The Bible says that we do not conform to the world. Isn't this what we're trying to instill in our children? I don't know one parent that sends their kids out to school and says, now remember, kids, be like everybody else. They never say, oh, well, you know, if all your friends are doing it, that's an indication you should be doing it too. So just follow along. Just be like them. But for some reason, we become adults and then we just kind of lose that idea of being different than the world, of not following the crowd, of not being a part of what everybody else is doing. As adults, we need to maintain that same mindset. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? We as Christians will do things differently than the world does. The truth is I am a radical extremist. I'm a radical extremist. And then some of you use that in a bad term. And there's a people group right now where people use that term and they say, well, they're radical extremists. And there's a part of me that says, well, what they're doing is they're taking their religion seriously. They're doing what their religion tells them to do. I don't agree with it. I think it's completely wrong. But they're doing what their religion tells them to do. That's why it stands in complete contrast to the things of the Lord. But I, in the same way, am a radical extremist. You might find me sneaking up on you and praying for you. Hallelujah. When you least expect it, I'll pop out of nowhere, put my hands on you and pray for you. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You might come out of your door one day and find some food on your porch that I just snuck up there and put it on there. Because I'm a radical extremist. You might not want to be hugged, and I'll come up out of nowhere and hug you and I love you. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You might catch me getting up in the middle of the night to pray for you. You might catch me praying for you when you don't even know it, marching around your house praying for deliverance. You might end up in a hospital bed and wake up with me at the foot of it just praying, believing that God is going to heal you. Because I'm a radical extremist. Our weapons are not the same weapons of this world. We've got to have a mind change. Our job as Christians is not just to love people. It's to war against those things that would attempt to infiltrate our minds and get us to think things that are not of God. We've got to have a mind change. Do not give up, folks. There is a war for your brain. There is a war for your brain. Do you understand that every single movie that is made was made by people that were trying to get you to think a certain way about something? Every single movie, every single episode of every single television show is an attempt to change your mind about the way that the world should be viewed. And so you can't go into these things with your blinders on. You've got to go in with your eyes wide open and say, what is society trying to tell me about the world? It's the same thing with news, man. You watch news shows, they're trying to get you to think a certain way. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, you're not going to be able to fight against it. You're not going to be able to figure out what's of God and what's not of God. Here's the second point. We've got to be of no reputation. Verse 7 says, but he made himself, Jesus, of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. Folks, this is an important part to understand. Being of no reputation is different than being humble. We're going to talk about being humble in just a minute. The point is,
is that when you're of no reputation, you're more concerned with the reputation of the one that you are serving instead of your own reputation. Does that make sense? When Jesus made himself of no reputation, he was more concerned with the reputation of Father God than he was of the reputation of himself. He was a bondservant. He changed the way in which he lived to bring God glory, to be made sure that God was lifted up, not himself. Now, Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, and so he still had to fight that fleshly man part that wanted to have his own reputation. See, a bondservant is someone who is bound to work with no wages. If you have a slave is owned, and they're, and they're forced to work. A bondservant, they could either submit themselves to be a servant of somebody else, or they maybe were a slave that has been set free, and then they make a decision to be a bondservant. But the point of the bondservant is this, is that a bondservant is not forced into servitude, they choose it. They say, you know what, I've been given my freedom, but I'm going to throw away my freedom and submit myself to you to be your slave. That's what it means to be a bondservant. And that's what Jesus became. See, a servant is not paid for their work. They don't get wages for it. The only thing that they want to do is just to be able to serve their master. It's not being a slave, it's a choice. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 21, you can read it later, is that actually masters would pierce the ear of their bondservants so that they would remember, you chose this. You chose this. Remember that. I'm not forcing you to do this. You have chose to be in my servitude. So on those times when things are not going well, just remember, you said, I will be your bondservant. I will submit myself to you. So here's the big thing about being a bondservant. The person who gets all the recognition for your work is the one you're working for.
Yeah. That's right.
The bondservant works so the master gets reputation. The bondservant isn't concerned with his reputation. He doesn't go out and say, I'm guessing here, but probably in Bible times, if someone had a big vineyard and it was beautiful and a bondservant had taken care of the vineyard, he doesn't bring his friends over and say, hey, look at what my bondservant did. He comes over and says, look at what I did. And then he gets the recognition. All of his friends say, hey, beautiful vineyard. The bondservant gets nothing. The bondservant just knows that he has done everything within his power to make his master look fantastic. More concerned for their master's reputation than their own reputation. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What does that mean to you folks? Who are you trying to please? Like when you get up in the morning and you're trying to make the world happy, who are you trying to please? You trying to please your boss? Trying to please your spouse? You trying to please your kids, your neighbors, your family? So, family is family, man. It's great. But some people are bond servants to their family at the expense of their relationship with Christ. You say, ain't I supposed to love my family? Yeah, you're supposed to love them, but not above Christ. Yeah. Same thing with your job. You say, well, you know, my boss, this and that. I'm like, that's great, man. That's a job. But your calling is to be fully submitted to Christ in your life. Who are you working for? Who are you a slave to? The Bible says we're all slaves. Who are you going to be a slave to? Whose reputation are you working on? Are you working on God's reputation getting better? Or are you working on your own reputation getting better? Because if we're working on God's reputation getting better, we're going to be a whole lot better off, amen? You know, a couple weeks ago, I was in my car and I was driving on A Street. Can I use your phone again? Mm-hmm. Get off Facebook. Pay attention. And I was on A Street and I came out here and, hey, you want to have it out right now?
I was posting on Facebook.
All right. So, do as I say, not as I do. All right. So, anyway, back to my sermon. I was on A Street, going down this way, and I came underneath the railroad trestle, and there was a car that was here, and there was another car behind there, and then my car was right about here. And this car went bonk and popped this car in the back, right? In the back. And this car had one of them tag stickers on the back that showed that it was a brand new car. And so I'm sitting here, you know, because the car popping, and I'm right here, and I'm like, man, this is gonna be fun to watch. I'm like, man, I want to see how this thing is, how this thing goes down. And it's pouring down rain, and the people didn't notice that I was noticing, and so this gal's in the car behind, and she's holding on to the wheel like, oh my gosh, right? I mean, you can see the look on her face; she's scared. So then the dude gets out of the car, and he doesn't have an appearance that makes people feel warm and fuzzy. It just looks like he's got a presence about him. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh man, this is going to go down. This is going to be good. Now what's great is I love watching people when they don't know that I'm watching them. And I'm like, man, this is going to be good. So the dude pops out of his car, and he gets down, he looks at his bumper, and he kind of rubs it a little bit. And I'm like, oh, it's about to happen. And he looks at her bumper, and it comes down, and then he starts to walk down to her window. And so then she just, like, brings it down a little bit like this, like a little bit scared. And I seen him, and now our cars are right here, so I kind of push my window down a little bit because I want to hear what he thinks he's going to say. No, I hear what he's going to say. And the dude goes, hey, it all looks like it's good. Don't worry about it. And then he whips out a card, and he goes, but come to my church sometime. I just want you to come to church. And I was like, man, isn't that awesome? And I was so proud of Aaron Quinones when I saw him do that. I was so proud of him. I was so proud of him. You know what I love about that is that he didn't even see me. And I'll tell you, man, with the beard and stuff, you're always like, what's behind the beard? And dude, I saw what was behind the beard that morning. I saw it. I saw the heart of Christ. It's that mindset that says, you know what, he could have completely, I mean, it's this brand new car that he just bought, and somebody popped him in the bumper, and he just invited her to church and went packing. I mean, it's 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable amongst Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I don't know who that girl was. I don't know what she can say, but she can say that the bearded man that she popped in the back gave her mercy and invited her to church. She can't, I mean, whatever bad Christians are out there, at least this one made God look good. Amen. He made God have a good reputation. It's a beautiful thing. Folks, you must become a person of no reputation if you want to be exalted with Christ. And yes, that has something to do with your conduct. How you act reflects on who your master is. There's got to be moments in your life, and I know because I have myself, where I have to say, I'm a Christian. I got to not do that. Come on, where's my people at? Dude, it's a battle, man. Sometimes I don't want to be a Christian. I just, like me and Crystal have said many times, if I could just get one day a year, just one day, I would get up at 4 a.m. and I would work until midnight to just go out one day and not be a Christian. But there's no days off when you're a Christian. You don't get a day off. Pastor Jay, the same thing. He got popped in his yellow Jeep this week. And I said, what did you do? And he said, I whipped out an invite card and I told her, we're the type of church that if you rear-end us, we're going to invite you to church. It's an epidemic. Radical extremism. Go out and get rear-ended for Jesus. Hallelujah. Make sure you got a bunch of invite cards. It'll be a new outreach. We'll just, pow, won't invite you to church. That was a joke. Don't do that. Some crazy guy's like, I do what you said, Pastor. People who care too much about what people think about them instead of what people think about God are not going to make it very long. Become a bondservant for Jesus. Become a person who makes their life to please their master. Care more about his reputation than your reputation. Here's what happens when you become a bondservant for Jesus. You don't care about your reputation. You don't care. You just care that God is getting the glory, that God is being exalted. You know, this daddy-daughter thing that we did last night, and it was so beautiful. Faith and I were sitting up here, and I was watching all these beautiful daughters that stood up here, and their dads and their grandpas and their uncles stand up here just admonishing them. And they stood here with just these doe eyes, like, just tell me again how much you love me, because I've just wanted to hear this my whole entire life. It was just gorgeous, man. They come out here, and the food was fantastic, and the decorations were fantastic, and people worked their fingers to the bone. And these little girls just walked into this great night that everybody else did something for them. They don't walk in and think, who put these lights out in the parking lot? They think, these parking lot lights are awesome. They didn't think, who made these cupcakes? They're like, these cupcakes are awesome. They didn't think, who forced my dad to stand up here and say nice things to me? They just received it. And everybody that worked to make that thing happen wasn't thinking about their own reputation. They were thinking about the reputation of God. Where these young girls are able to sit there and think, man, God loves me. God cares about me. God's reputation was exalted. God's name was exalted in these little girls' lives because people did not care about their own reputation. When you make Jesus your master and you become his bondservant, you will notice you don't worry as much. You're like, dude, the master's taking care of it. It's all taken care of. You don't care as much what people think about you. You care about what your master thinks about you. You're not going to go without your master is going to take care of you. He will take care of you. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So in addition to not caring about your reputation, you've got to humble yourself. You've got to be a person that thinks about who you are in this world and look for opportunities to humble yourself. Because a bondservant is not concerned with himself or his own reputation. He humbles himself. See, Paul includes this in his discourse because he's trying to show the Philippians the contrast of the life of Jesus. Jesus was the Savior of the world and he was humble. He was about his Father's business. It's very clear the reason why I wasn't Jesus, because I could not have been humble about it. I would have been like, name tag, lightning bolts coming your way. Come on now, anybody else? You guys need Jesus, man. You guys need prayer. Jesus was humble. He didn't exalt himself. I mean, remember on the Palm Sunday, he came in on a donkey, right? He was a humble guy. It says Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was a humble guy. He didn't think that he was too good for something or that he couldn't bring himself low enough to be a servant. If you want to be exalted, be humble. The humblest people I know are the ones that are the most exalted. Time and time again. Watch me. You want to watch this? I'll watch. I'll show it in action. Lon, stand up for a second, will you? Come here, Lon. Woo-hoo. Come here. I want you to come here. Stand up here. Come here. I want you to walk. I want you guys to see something here. Come here. Come here. Here, I want you to here. Come on here. Keep walking. We're gonna have you. We're gonna exalt you as high as you possibly can. Here, stand up here. All right. Now, Lon. Lon, for the last few years, has been in charge of making sure that our church is clean. Would you guys stand up and give him a round of applause? Come on. Come on. Give it up. Raise your hand if you appreciate a clean church. I want you to scream if you appreciate you didn't clean the toilets. Go ahead, have a seat, Lon. You know,
I have a blessed crew.
You see that even deflects to his crew. Lon never said one time, I'm going to clean the toilets because maybe one day Pastor Matt will bring me up in front of the church and people just clap for me. Gosh, that's all I've wanted is just to stand up in front of the church and people to clap for me. He's probably just reeling on the inside like, why would you do that to me? It proves a point, doesn't it? Because that's the life of living for Jesus, is that you do those things that other people don't want to do, and then you get exalted for it. And you've never asked anything of me or of the church. His biggest complaint is, would you buy us better equipment so we could do the job better? That's his only complaint. Just get us new equipment. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. It's so against the grain of the me first America, the reality show mindset that says, if people just knew me and how great I was, then I would have value. Yeah. Now, I know Lon's heart, and he probably didn't do this, but I probably would have. At some point, I'd probably be scrubbing one of those toilets like, man, where's my recognition? Where's my thanks? That's not how Lon is, but, you know, there's probably a point in your life where you think like, is anybody ever going to notice what I do? God notices. God knows. Lon and Danny's life is blessed because the both of them wholeheartedly serve God in this church. We could do the same thing for Danny for her work in the children's ministry. She's been faithful for like 10 years serving in that thing, and never once she'd say, you know, Matt, I've been looking for a little recognition here. She just wants to exalt Christ. I don't know when and I don't know how, but I know that the Word of God says in due season, God is going to exalt you. He's going to lift you up. And many people don't get lifted up because once they get there, they're just going to make it about them anyway. Yeah. Not about Jesus. God is trying to work something out in you before He exalts you so He can get the glory. Right. This is why I love Tim Tebow, man. A lot of people don't like Tebow. I love him. The reason why I love him is because he's unashamed about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's been that way since he was in college. He had, you know, scriptures on his eyes. And then when he went into the NFL, he would do his T-bowing thing. He didn't call it T-bowing. They called it T-bowing. He was just praying. Yeah. He was just saying, you know, I want everybody to know that I'm who I am because of who Christ is. Now, me personally, I think that he got an unfair shake because of his demonstrative serving of Jesus Christ. I think that his career in the NFL was soured by them because he was so unwilling to shut up about Jesus. And I just love that about him. And for those of you that don't know, even this week, he got in trouble because he was dating, I guess, a Miss Universe or something like that. And she broke up with him because he wouldn't have premarital sex with her. So now he's back in the news again. And everybody's like, so help me understand this. Why would you not? Because any man in the world. He's like, I'm not any man in the world.
That's right.
I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not going to go to hell. I want to serve God. I'm going to live my life differently than the rest of the world lives. No NFL contract, bring it. No love from the media, bring it. I'm not going to change who I am. Listen, time will show that Tim Tebow is going to be exalted far above even where he's at today. Matthew 23:12, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I've seen it time and time again, folks. People who try to exalt themselves always get humbled. And the people that don't try to exalt themselves always get exalted. Can I share with you guys another story? Is that okay? Now, this happened to me in Crystal a few years ago. We went to a birthday party. I did Young Life for a few years, and so I did a Bible study with some kids in Auburn, and so I had a group of kids that I walked with through high school. And so when they graduated from high school, a lot of them invited us to their graduation parties. And so we got invited to a graduation party. And I'm telling you this just because it's part of it paints the picture. So this kid, his name is Corey Fuavai, and he plays for the University of Washington Huskies currently. So if you watch Husky football, he's on there. He plays for them. And so they invited us to his birthday party. And so there was something else that day. I think maybe we had a wedding or something we went to before too. And so we showed up late. And they were renting this hall, and there's probably like 100, 150 people in there. And everybody in there, except for Crystal and I and a handful of other people, everybody was Samoans. Now, I don't know if you've ever hung around Samoans when they're having a party, but, man, they make white people look boring. Like, they get down, and they have a great time. There's a ton of food, and there's not a stranger. I mean, there's some of the most loving people you've ever seen. If you ever get a chance to hang out with Pacific Islanders, dude, change your schedule and go. So me and Crystal walk in, and the room is full. And so we saw Corey, and we're like, hey, Corey. And then there was a table right there. So then we sat down, and he was like, hey, it's nice to see you here. And so we sat down. Like, we literally, we walked in the door, and we sat down at this table, and it was just, you know, it was just kind of there. And then, so then he walks over and he gets his mom and he brings her over and he says, "Mom, this is Matt, Pastor Matt. He's the pastor I told you about." And she goes, "Pastor?" And she goes, "This is a pastor," like that. And then I was like, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?" And so they had this head table up in the front of the room. And I don't know who was sitting at that table, but when she said pastor, they all lifted up and took their plates and walked away. And then they walked Crystal and I up to this head table and everybody left. And then everybody in the room is just kind of watching us at this head table. And then everybody started bringing dishes and dishes of food to us. And we're sitting there eating bottles of Coca-Cola. And we weren't even hungry, but I'm like, "Man, I got to eat this." And everybody just like, "Well, we just want to exalt you, pastor. This is fantastic." Now, I can't lie, man, I kind of liked it. It was pretty cool. It was a time that we just felt so special and honored. And it was awesome. And I don't share that to you because I want to be a Samoan pastor. I'm not saying that. Maybe a little bit. But my point in telling you that story is this, is that there'll always be times in your life where I never walk into a room like, "Pastor Matt, right here." You know what I mean? We just walked in. We're just a couple people. And then God saw it fit for a moment to just give us this beautiful experience of being able to be honored by people that only honored us because we were servants of God, not because they knew us. They weren't honoring Matt and Crystal. They were honoring the position that God has put us in as leaders of God's church. The Bible says in Matthew 23:12, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." James 4:6, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." I just want to encourage you, man, start to think about how you can be more humble. Amen, Pastor. Share less on Facebook to try to make yourself look good. Dang it. You're like, "That was really good preaching until you said that part." I get it, man. Like, in this world of everybody's, you want to be an everybody. You don't want to be a nobody. And sure, I mean, I post stuff on Facebook. I post some of my victories. But some people, like, all day, every day, it's just like the you show, right? They're like, "Woke up this morning, nailed it." Seriously, right? I mean, there's like, "Dude, I am so awesome. Up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. My glory was just filling up the room. It's so awesome." Now listen, man, if you get a new job, if you had a great victory, if there's something you want to share about your kids, dude, I get it. But there are some people that every single thing is about them and how awesome they are. Yeah. And you catch it in the way that they talk. Even when they're telling a story, they're like the one-uppers, right? You're like, "Oh man, I had five." Like, "Five? I had six." They're like, "Oh, you had six? I had 17. Like, people just, they're always trying to one-up. And sometimes they'll tell stories that are so telling that reveal their heart, and it's disgusting. Like, I've heard people that'll tell stories, and they'll say things like, "Yeah, man, I was in this checkout line, and the lady, she was being too slow. So I told her, I said, 'What's the problem here? Why can't we get some more help? Why are you going too slow?' And then she started working faster, and I just stood there like, 'Ha, I did that.'" Don't give them an invite to church, please. Like, people are like, "Yeah, man." And so I went down to the school and I get in the principal's office and I said, "I want that teacher's job. Make sure they get fired because, you know what, I ain't going to let nobody talk to my kids that way." And so I was just going to put them in their place and change the way that... I'm like, please don't invite that person to church. Like, we as Christians, the truth is we got to take it on the chin sometimes.
Yeah.
Now listen, I am the first guy that my initial fleshly response isn't love, care, and understanding, man. Like, my first response is, "I'm going to lay hands on you." And not in a good way. Like, my fleshly response is anger, is frustration. Some of you guys might have seen that Facebook post a few weeks ago when somebody cut me off. In the roundabout, I was going in the roundabout, and I just wasn't paying attention. It was completely my fault. And I came by, and then this lady was like, "Eh," and I was like, "What is happening?" I was like, "Oh, I'm doing something wrong." I looked in the window, and she was like, "Eh," but she had this one out. What? And then I was like, and I rolled in, and I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I made a mistake." And she goes, "Huh?" With the other thing. And on the inside, I was like, "I am 6'5", 250 pounds. I'm blocking your car right now, and we're going to get to know each other a whole lot better." I kid you not, man. My whole life flashed in front of my eyes. I mean, I just pictured me down at the RJC, and Chris will be like, what happened? I'm like, this lady, and she did this thing. So I took her out of the car, and I smashed her. Like, that was what came out. Come on, man. Where's my people at? Man, you guys need Jesus. Gosh, you guys need Jesus. So, I mean, there was still a little fleshy response. I just very sternly said, I'm sorry! I'm sorry! It still probably wasn't that godly, but like, at least I didn't do what I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where, that wasn't even in my notes. Why did I say that one? Don't let anything be beneath you, man. That lady probably is driving around being like, and I told that 6'5" bald-headed guy where to put it. And I was like, she sure did. Great. Yay, you. You know what I mean? Yay. Fantastic. You're awesome. But I know that I went away and I 90% honored God. Do you know what I mean? 90's good. 90's passing. That's an A. You know? You just got to try to be humble somewhat. Don't be below. Don't say something is beneath you, right? Don't just say, well, I'm not going to feed those people. That's beneath me. I'm not going to wash that. I'm not going to serve them. Forgiving? Come on now. Can we quit being the Christians that say I'm not going to forgive them? Can we quit being the Christians that say I'm not going to be in relationship with them anymore? That just doesn't add up to the Word of God at all. Last point is this. And we've got to be obedient. It says that Jesus became obedient to the point of death. Yes. To the point of death. Now, as a pastor, I kind of love that. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's asked somebody in the church, like, hey, man, can you do it, pastor? I'll be obedient to the point of death.
Yeah.
Amen, pastor, that's good. God is calling us to die to self.
Yes.
It's true. The Bible's very clear on that. It says in verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given the name which is above every name. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, took off his God clothes and humbled himself and became of no reputation, but he was obedient. He did what God asked of him. Yes. Folks, this right here is the ultimate trade-off. This is, if I could put it on a bumper sticker and get this in your mind every day, it's the trade-off of, if I put God first, will he still take care of me? In every area of my life, if I put God first, will he still take care of me? If I'm obedient even unto death, will God still take care of me? If I humble myself, if I'm of no reputation, if I open up my mind, and if I'm obedient, is God going to still give me joy? Folks, there is a trade-off for being a bondservant. You give up your freedom to do whatever you want, and you become obedient to God. Obedient even to the point of death. Now, currently we're not asking that of you this morning, okay? But that's obedience. You give up your will. When I hear Christian people say things like, I'm never going to do that, or don't ask me to do that, I'm like, well, who are you serving? Because you're currently enlisted in the army of God, and if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you do it. That's what it takes. And I'm not exempt from this.
Yeah.
You know, a few weeks ago we had the Thanksgiving on Wednesday, right? We had Thanksgiving falls on Thursday, and then we were going to have Wednesday. In the last 12 years of Faith and Victory, we've never had a service on Wednesday. Oh, I'm going to talk about you too. So here it comes. So 12 years, man, because I love having that Wednesday night off. I don't like being out on the night before Thanksgiving. And so the Lord laid on someone's heart. I won't say their name. Because that would be rude. And somebody said, you know what? We need to have a service on that night. And I was like, well, your name tag doesn't say pastor. You know? And the truth was, is in my heart, I did not want to go to church on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Because it wasn't my idea. And I didn't want to put it on the schedule. But somebody else was like, well, God is worthy to be praised. We should give him thanks on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And in my heart of hearts, I said, and audibly I said, well, I ain't going. And they said, fine, you don't have to. I said, fine, I'm not going. Because I was being disobedient in my spirit. So on Wednesday night when I was there at the service, worshiping and praising God,
I thought to myself, you know what? I still have to be obedient to the master. I even myself, there's got to be a point in my life where I say, do you know what, God? If these doors are open and your people are down here worshiping, I can't willfully sit at home watching television while people are down here worshiping God thinking, well, I'm just going to be obedient. It wasn't my idea, so I ain't doing it. I came down here and worshiped God, man. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the formal lusts as in ignorance. Folks, that verse doesn't have much weight to some of you that don't know what obedience from children looks like. So some of you have never seen obedient children. You've used to watching parents who are obedient to their children instead of their children being obedient to them. You know, you guys know, I'm picking on a lot of people this morning. This is fun. I like it. You guys know the Wilders, right? Say amen if you know the Wilders. Dude, they got great kids, man. Great kids. My favorite one out of the three is Preston. And because not that I don't like the other ones. I like Preston. He's so cute, man. And what's funny, when he talks to you, he always cocks his head, goes like this. And he's got this little concerned little look on his face. And so I think it actually might have been on that, on the Wednesday night, on that Thanksgiving night when I didn't want to be here. And you guys are like, gosh, what kind of pastor do we have where you weren't here? All right. And so we were closing down the service and putting everything away. And so little Preston comes up to me, goes, Pastor Matt, do you need some help? He's like, how's it, five? He's 4 years old. He says, Pastor Matt, do you need some help? And I was like, yeah, dude, I'd love to have some help. So he's helped me put the things down. He's just kind of walking around and just kind of anything I asked him to do. I was like, will you pick up this piece of paper? He's like, sure, Pastor Matt, I'll do it. And so then I thought it'd be cool. We have the remote to turn off these things on the thing. And I was like, dude, I'm going to let him turn them off, right? Because that'd be pretty cool. So he's standing right here. And I said to him, I said, Preston, here, come up on the stage. And he goes, I'm not allowed to go up there. There's like the Wilders are back in the foyer. I'm like, bro, you can go up there. And he said, and I quote, my dad says I'm not allowed to go up there. There's a sermon in there somewhere. So I pulled rank and I was like, Pastor Matt says it's okay. Just come on up here. And he kind of looks back. He goes, okay. And he just kind of gingerly walked up here because he's like, he's been told to stay off this thing. He's going to be obedient to his father's request. He's going to honor his father. Even though he doesn't understand, why can't I jump off of this beautiful stage? Father says no, so whether I understand it or not, I'm going to be obedient even when I'm not in his presence. There's a sermon in there somewhere. I ought to preach on it one day. Last scripture, Psalm 119:30. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Folks, it is a choice. Excuse me. It's a choice to be obedient to the word. I have chosen. There's many times I have to remind myself I'm a Christian. I can't do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. There's nothing wrong with just being obedient because you want to honor God. You don't even have to want to do it. You can just say, do you know what? I'm just going to be obedient because that's what God's calling me to do. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to agree with it. If God asked me to do this or to not do it, I'm just going to do what he asked me to do, man. My heart will hopefully come along later on, and it does eventually, when sometimes you're just being obedient, because I know that God is going to bless obedience. I know in due season, God is going to exalt anything and everything I put my hands to, because I have not worried about my reputation. I've worried about his. I've been humble and I've tried to focus on him instead of me. I've tried to be obedient as best as I could. And I opened up my mind to the reality that I've got to have a mind like Christ. Amen. Yes. Amen. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Yes. Russ, do you mind playing? Am I keeping you from anything? Okay. Fantastic. There's two things, and please, for the love of God, don't miss this moment, folks. God wants to do some miraculous things in some people's lives this morning. And the first thing is this, is if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that today. The Bible says that you have to repent. It means you have to turn away from the world and turn towards God. And I think physically and spiritually, one of the greatest things that you can do is to demonstrably stand up and say, do you know what? I want to serve Jesus. And if that's you this morning, you've never made a decision to follow Christ, I want to invite you right now to walk to the front of the church, and you're just going to stand here, and someone's going to come up and they're going to pray with you.
Don't let this moment pass you by. If that's you this morning, you've never made that decision, I want to encourage you to walk forward and have someone pray with you. The Bible says if you deny God before people, that God will deny, or Jesus will deny you before his Father. And so I take that to believe that when you stand up and you say, I want to be a Christian, I want to be a follower of Christ, I want to be forgiven of my sins, that God will receive you and that you'll be able to live eternally with him. Secondly, maybe there was something in this sermon this morning that just kind of touched on your heart a little bit. Something that you're like, man, I don't think I've had the mind of Christ. I don't think I've been open to the things of God. Or maybe I'm worried about my reputation instead of God's reputation. Or maybe I haven't been humble. Or maybe I haven't been obedient. Whatever part of that was touched in your heart this morning by the Holy Spirit, just repent of it this morning. Just say, you know what, God, I'm going to try better to not do this with your help. And the Holy Spirit will come in and help you to do that. The Holy Spirit will help you in every way possible to live for God wholly and completely. Father God, we pray today that you would change us from the inside out, God. Father, that you would cause us to live holy and completely for you, God. And if there's anything inside of us that needs to be rooted out that's not of you, God, we just pray that you would do that this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.